There's a saying of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that if a person prays two rak'ah salah and prays in such a way that he has no thoughts of the world in his mind, any individual prays such a two rak'ah salah that no thoughts of the dunya of the world come into his mind, then all of his previous sins will be forgiven. So easy is this practice. Is this difficult? If you come to pray salah, two rak'ah, nafal salah, and all your previous sins will be forgiven. 60 years of sin, 60 years forgiven. 70 years, 70 years forgiven. And all you have to do is what? Two rak'ah salah. Two rak'ah salah. How valuable is the salah? Look. But there's a condition here that comes in. There's a condition. And the condition is the two rak'ah salah that you will pray, that you will observe, due to which all your previous sins will be forgiven. The condition of the acceptance of that prayer is that there's no worldly thoughts or inclinations in your mind during that prayer. That's the condition, and that's where we fall down. That's where we fail. That's where we lose. Whenever we make niyyah, we make the niyyah, we start the prayer, and then the car starts to move. All of the accounts, giving, taking, profit and loss, issues, whichever field or career you're working in, if you're in your shop, before that you start thinking about your shop, the customers, or I have to go and buy some stock, I have to buy some goods. And if there's issues at home, then you'll start thinking about home. If it's marriage or some relatives, some issues, all of the planning, the family planning, the holiday planning, etc. And when you start planning, then your thoughts increase and multiply and your thoughts deviate. This much, it is so hard to complete the two rak'ah salah without deviating the thoughts towards the worldly issues. So it's very easy, but it's so difficult for us nowadays to get this reward due to the thoughts. But we can't pray in that way. We don't pray in that way, the way that Allah Ta'ala wants us to. How can a person prepare such that he completes two rak'ah salah in total concentration and focus, so that there's no worldly inclinations and thoughts? And that's all we need. May Allah Ta'ala forgive, but we don't go towards that. For such a salah, do we need to put on a beautiful dress so that we can concentrate, or to observe a prayer full of concentration? Do I need to go to a special location and stand there on a special piece of earth so that I can concentrate fully? Or will I have to put on very nice itar or perfume that will allow me to concentrate and focus? Or will I have to go to a certain hall or certain building and pray in that place so I can concentrate and focus? No, this is not the condition. You don't need a special location, a special building, or special libas or dress or perfume. For this you need a good state of heart. For this special prayer, to observe the two nafal salah or the two rak'ah salah in the correct way, you need the correct state of heart. If your heart is correct, then forget two rak'ah salah. With the fadl of Allah, we have to pray much more than that in the day, and all of the salah in the day will be prayed and observed in that fashion with focus and concentration. Rather, I will say that alhamdulillah, such a two rak'ah that you can also pray this during tahajjud time. Nowadays, Allah Ta'ala's fazl upon all of us that tahajjud is alongside us, is with us. If you get tahajjud salah, two rak'ah tahajjud salah in total focus and concentration, then you will have total reward, enjoyment. In the hadith, it stated that tahajjud salah, if you pray two rak'ah tahajjud salah without any worldly thoughts, then from amongst 70,000 men and women, you will be included amongst those people who will enter into paradise without any reckoning, without any accounting, without any questioning. But what's the condition for this? You need the good state of heart, the correct state of heart. If the heart is correct, then you are successful. Then you will succeed in your salah. And it's not difficult. This is not difficult. It's very simple, very easy. So you think, how do I correct my heart? How do I correct myself so I can pray two rak'ah salah correctly? Because the people who pray the two rak'ah salah correctly are those who are praying from the heart. They're not praying from the body. They're going in ruku, they're going in sajda, they're going in prostration. Physically they're moving. It's not the forehead or the legs or the arms that are creating the focus and concentration. It's the heart that creates the focus and concentration. So a person who prays salah, he prays salah with his heart. He doesn't pray with his body. If you do hajj, you're not doing hajj with the limbs of your body, you're doing it with your heart. If you're going to umrah, you're not going with your body, you're going with your heart. If you're reciting Quran, you're reciting Quran from the depths of your heart. Everything you do is from the depths of the heart. And the heart is not in the right state of mind, it's not in the correct position. It's not in the correct condition because we don't make effort to correct the heart. If you make niyyah a little bit, the whole of success in life, the whole of the success of life is based on the heart. Allah says in the Quran, بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, that the heart which is correct and pure, it is the heart that will give success. All of us, we have to live in this world, we have to die, we have to go and meet Allah. All our ibadat and worship in this world, the basis of success on these is if our heart is in the correct state. So we have to do one thing. And that is to correct the state of the heart, to purify the heart, to improve the heart. That's it. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's kept such rewards based on the markaz, the foundation, the pivot of the heart, then of course definitely Allah ta'ala no doubt will have prepared a solution so we can correct the heart. We pray salah, we recite Quran, we do all nafil ibadah and worship, voluntary things, all zahiri, external body is doing this, but the heart is not prepared to do this. Just like two rakah salah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the example. That if you pray the salah from the depths of your heart with the focus, concentration and purity, then nothing apart from Allah Ta'ala's thoughts will come into your mind during that salah. Whichever ibadah you do with the heart, apart from Allah Ta'ala's focus and concentration, nothing else will come in that ibadah. There will be no contamination, no mixture, nothing. So, make the heart pure, correct the heart, prepare the heart, cultivate the heart. And how do we cultivate the heart and purify the heart? The Quran has given us the method. Will you make effort to do it the way the Quran has said? Otherwise, why are you wasting your time, your life? Otherwise, you won't know what is the life. There's nothing to fear about. It's your heart. It's not my heart. It's your heart you have to correct. Your heart, you have to purify it. You have to. I'm not saying correct your family or your house. If your house is crumbling or falling apart, you decorate it, you refurbish it. So Allah Ta'ala says, if your heart is crumbling, falling apart, then correct your heart. Refurbish the heart. Allah says in the Quran, in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us the tariqah. And there's no tariqah in Islam that is difficult. A child can practice it, an old man, an old woman, young men, young women, females, males, all can practice this solution to correct the heart. Shall I tell you the solution? How to make the heart so you prepare the heart and you do ibadah correctly? Don't fear, say loudly, inshallah. It's Ramadan, I am here, you are here. I'm saying inshallah, you're sitting quietly, silently. Have courage and say inshallah loudly. Allah Ta'ala will give us the tawfiq. MashaAllah, we're speaking about good things and I'm speaking for myself. MashaAllah, you are good brothers, you have good hearts. I'm speaking to myself, I'm a weak person. I'm speaking to myself so I can strive and work hard and make effort so I can improve my heart and my ibadah can be accepted. Very simple. To make your ibadah accepted, you have to purify your heart so that whenever you perform ibadah worship, it's your heart that's worshipping, not your body. So it's three things you have to do, three steps to make us get to that point. And straight away, if we take those three steps, straight away your heart will become in that position that you can perform the deeds correctly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this blessed month of Ramadan is explaining this to us. There are three steps you have to take. I'm not saying this. The hadith and the Quran are full of this advice. I'm just summarizing this and I'm giving you the narrations. And if I go into detail with technicalities, then it will take us so long. But inshallah, I will summarize from the Quran and the Hadith. Nothing from my side, everything's recorded. It's present in front of you, and I'll prove to you from the Quran and Hadith that these are the steps that you have to take to purify the heart so that your ibadah is accepted, and it's from the depths of the heart. So the first thing, just like when you clean the house or the room, you use the vacuum cleaner. Then you use the purifier, the perfume. Yes, so the first thing to clean the heart, are you ready to understand what I'm saying? You will practice on this, inshallah. So the first step to purify the heart and to correct the heart and bring it into the condition so your deeds are accepted. First thing, what do we need? What do we need? Are you ashamed to ask or to understand? You won't ask from Zaid, you won't ask from me, you're not asking from your enemy, you're not asking from your wife. We fight and argue with the wife. No, you ask from who? You're not asking from any male or female or youngster. No, we're asking directly from who? That, oh, this person's better than me, I have to ask from him. No, Allah Ta'ala says there's nobody you need to ask from that you have to be ashamed to ask that person. Allah Ta'ala says, that in such a way from such an individual, you're not begging or requesting, you're not asking tawbah from a person that you are ashamed. Who are you asking tawbah from? From Allah, Khaliqi Haqiqi, the true Lord, the true Creator. So first you have to do tawbah, the first step. Why are you ashamed to do tawbah? Why are we ashamed to ask from Allah? Because Allah Ta'ala knows everything already, my friends. Allah Ta'ala knows those things that even the angels have not seen or heard. Even Karamun Katibin, the angels on our shoulders don't know. And Allah Ta'ala knows those things about us that even I don't know about myself. So there are so many deficiencies of mine, so many issues of mine that are hidden even from my mind, from even my memory. Allah Ta'ala says, I know those things that even you don't know. Allah says, do tawbah on your sins. And how do you repent from your sins, from your misdeeds? No, Allah says, there's only one way to do tawbah. As soon as you do tawbah, the spark will come, the energy will come, the nur, the light will come into your heart straight away, suddenly, immediately it will come. That's the first step to purifying and cultivating the heart. So what is tawbah? Repentance. How do we do tawbah? We have to do tawbah. Are you going to do tawbah, all of you brothers? Say inshallah. Inshallah. So how do we do tawbah? How do we repent? Allah Ta'ala says that tawbah is a condition. Tawbah is a implementation of an action. Just like, for example, there's a criminal. He says, I'm sorry. He says to the judge, I'm sorry, judge. I committed a crime. First of all, you can only say you're sorry when you've made a mistake. For example, the criminal says to the judge, judge, I committed theft. Can you forgive me? So the judge will say, why are you asking for forgiveness? Because he's a criminal. He has committed the crime. That's the first condition. He's accepting the crime. So the first step is the criminal has to accept the crime that he has committed. So we, the criminals, in front of Allah, Maliki Haqiqi, who knows everything. Allah, we know that you know everything, Allah. But today we accept in front of you that I have committed all of these sins. That's it. Allah, you know. And I know, and I'm accepting and admitting in front of you that Allah, I am a criminal. I've committed these sins. And this is called nadamat, regret. Because even to do this today is hard for us, the believers. Allah, I did this sin on this day and this time. I did this sin. I committed this crime. I committed this misdeed. I'd oppressed. I did injustice. And when a person sits down and he admits and accepts, then shaitan, he says to him, why are you doing tawbah? All of these sins you committed were so severe. Allah will never accept your tawbah. But he says no. She says no. Allah is Qadir and Mutalik. He is the just. He says that you can commit so many sins that the gap between the heavens and the skies and the earth is full of the sins. Even then I will forgive you, Allah Ta'ala says. So we are standing in front of Allah, sitting in front of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm not asking you for the wasilah of your mother, your father, your uncle, your auntie. Because when we have to ask for forgiveness from our parents, even then I have to say, Allah or my parents, please forgive me. Please forgive me. You have to regret for the sins that you have committed. Allah, I am a criminal. Not this that you are asking for dua from Allah. Allah, if I'm a liar, then please Allah accept my forgiveness. Allah, if I've done pride, then Allah forgive. No, Allah says no if. No ifs. Allah says there's no if. Say subhanallah. Because Allah Ta'ala is listening. Allah says there's no precondition. You don't say to Allah, Allah, if I'm committing this sin. Even if I've not committed the sin. Even then I will have forgotten all of the sins I've forgotten. Imamul Anbiya, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in sajda, Allah forgive me. Allahumma ghfirli. And today's Muslim says, Allah, if I committed the sin, Allah, then forgive me. This is your dua. If I did injustice, if I lied, Allah, if I did haram, Allah, if I stole, this is not tawbah. This is the high form of pride. Even shaitan would have not said, Allah, if I did this. Never say if. Never put conditions in front of your tawbah. You say, Allah, most definitely I will have sinned, Allah. Even though I cannot remember, Allah, most definitely I've sinned in my life, Allah. I've done zulm. I've oppressed. رَبَّنَا ذَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ الله. No doubt I have sinned, I have oppressed, I have committed crimes. I can't remember, maybe Allah, but I've definitely done these things. I accept this. Allah, I accept. But we don't even do taslim today. We don't even accept that we have sinned today. Let me tell you a very simple way of doing tawbah. Accept all your sins today. Allah, I have done the sins. Today, all of us have to say this. Second thing in tawbah, when you do tawbah, that Allah, I've committed the deed, the crime and the sins. What does the thief say? The thief says, judge, I will not repeat the theft again, judge, I promise. So when we say, Allah, forgive us today, Allah, we've committed the crimes, Allah, and inshallah, we will not commit today. When the child says, dad, dad, please forgive me, dad, please forgive me, dad, I made a mistake, I won't make the mistake again. And the second way of doing tawbah, the second step, is that first we have to accept all the sins we've committed. And the second thing we have to do is, Allah, inshallah, from today I will promise I will not do this sin again. And here we fail again. We fall down again. Because it's very difficult for us to say this. We don't want to put preconditions in our tawbah. When we are promising Allah and doing tawbah in front of Allah, the Creator, we say, Allah, I accept all these sins I committed, and Allah will not commit these sins again. Allah is so powerful. Allah Ta'ala will include angels as witnesses in our pledge, such that He will give us the strength not to put our hands and feet towards that sin again. And upon this intention, Allah will give us the success. And this is where we fail in our tawbah. All of us fail. Myself, all of us fail on making the intention. A person, so remember step number two. First of all, maybe we'll do step number one, accept our sins. But the second step, where we make intention for not repeating the sin in the future, this is where we fail. And this is where shaitan makes us fail always. He always whispers in our ears, oh, maybe I'll sin again, it's too hard, I can't promise. I'll fall down tomorrow. That when I say, Allah, I committed the sins, now again I will never commit the sin. Allah, I did this wrong action, Allah will never do this action again. With your help, O Allah, bi-idhnillah. This is the condition. In this gathering, we have to do this. We have to accept the sins that we committed, the crimes, and we have to straight away then say, Allah, I will not do this sin again. And this is called tawbah, and this is called bay'ah. In Arabic, bay'ah. Where Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Mumtahinna to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that when the believing women and also men, when they come to you, because Allah Ta'ala said in this verse, Allah's Nabi, O my Nabi, my beloved, when I send these women to your presence. Allah Ta'ala could have accepted their tawbah direct, but no, Allah says, this is my method, my sunnah, that first they come to you, O my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when they come to you and they admit their crimes and their sins and they promise they won't do them again and they ask you to do dua for them, then their bay'ah will be accepted. Two actions were given in delegation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today the deputies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this earth, who are the walis of Allah, who are the sheikhs, they are fulfilling this function and this branch of Islam, where they invite and allow the believers to do tawbah, and they, through the dua, through the following of that sunnah, they fulfill that function and practice of tawbah, which is called bay'ah, pledging allegiance to the teacher, and that's it. And when you do these actions, then your tawbah is accepted. So first thing, accept the sins that you've committed. Secondly, promise to Allah you won't commit them again. And this is the second step of tawbah. And the third point, so these, remember as I said, so the first, remember I said there are three steps to reforming and purifying the heart. So the two rakah salah that you pray without any reckoning, Allah Ta'ala says you will enter into paradise and your salah will be accepted straight away. So the first step was, remember, tawbah. And to do tawbah, you have to accept the sins and you have to promise you won't do them again. And step number two, which makes your heart noor ana noor, and the Quran and Hadith mention that you have to do this step number two to purify the heart, is dhikr Allah, which is why we are sitting here today, for which this gathering is formed today. And this is the practice of Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Dhikr of Allah. As soon as you start doing dhikr Allah, so remember, three steps to making your rakahs of salah accepted, for making all of your practice being done from the depths of your heart. Just like, for example, I've got my clothes on here and all the spots of the mud come on my clothes. When I throw them in the washing machine with the washing powder and I make effort and wash my clothes, Allah purifies the clothes. Now if I say I've got a white piece of cloth here and I want to make it black, so what do I do to make this cloth black? I cannot just do it automatically or paint it myself. I have to go to the dye house. And I say to the person who dyes the clothes, I say, oh, can you make my shirt green or black or blue? Whichever color I want the clothes to become. The person who dyes the clothes, he uses the color and he impregnates the cloth with the color and he follows the process, the heat and the temperature, and the color comes. So Allah says, Sibghatallah in the Quran, that I want my color, the color of my attributes, to come into your life. So Allah Ta'ala says, first you clean your heart, you purify your heart by doing tawbah, and after doing tawbah you have to put the color of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into your heart. And there's only one color that comes. Allah says, before in prayer you used to think about dunya, you love the dunya, you love the world, all the things in the world, you love those things and they were in your heart and they disturbed your salah. and they made you deviate from the focus and concentration of Allah. So what do we have to do? We have to bring the color into our heart of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all the blackness and the dirt that was in our heart, we have to cut it, exterminate it, eliminate it, and we have to bring the color of the dye of the dhikr of Allah, the color of Allah ta'ala's name, we have to bring that onto the heart. And when you do this, then your tawbah will go to the next step. Alhamdulillah, when you bring dhikr into your routine, schedule of life, Allah, Allah, la ilaha illallah, subhanallah, and you start doing abundance of dhikr, then the color of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's dhikr will come into your heart. To this extent, that with the dhikr of Allah, the color of Allah ta'ala's dhikr, His name comes into your heart to such an extreme, sleeping, walking, talking, lying down, speaking, working, no thoughts will come into your mind and heart except the thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is definite proof and reality. I guarantee that there is no thought which is better and replaces the thought of Allah. There is no thought better over and above the thought of your friend, Allah. We should walk and live and sleep and eat in our lives like we are mad in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be so connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be so immersed in the thoughts and remembrance of Allah, thoughts of our friend, Allah, that everything else should be detached from us in the world. We shouldn't even be worried about ourselves, my health, or my food, or my hunger, or my thirst, or my sleep, or my clothes, or my luxuries, or my comforts, or my riches, or my wealth. I'm just lost in one thought, drowned in one thought, the thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that becomes a system of my life, that becomes my condition, and I run after that condition every second of the day and the night. And when my last destination comes, the last second, then only Allah Ta'ala's name is on the tip of my tongue, and that is how I die. My friends, it's very dangerous, this life we are living. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he hinted to us how to attain the successful 2 rakah salah, but rather he was telling us how to practice our life in its entirety, so that every second of our life is accepted from the depths of our heart, so that at the time of death we say Allah for in our tongue from the depths of the heart. That is what he is teaching us. How will we say Allah at the time of death? This is the key to that point, to that success. Through this, the Rasulullah said in the hadith that 2 rakah salah, how will you get it accepted? Only if your heart is conditioned and pure from the depths of your heart. When you do wudu, you strive and make struggle and go to the masjid and stand and pray and say Allahu Akbar. And for 2 minutes, you can't forget the dunya. Allah says, then tell me, how at the time of death will you remember me? How at the time of death will my name come onto your tongue? How will you condition yourself and practice and purify yourself so that you are ready at the time of death to say my name? So how do we do that? We have to correct the heart, cultivate the heart, condition the heart. How? Step number one, tawbah. Step number two, dhikr of Allah. Dhikr we do morning, evening. This is not some program. This is not some function, some bid'ah or innovation, or something we just like and we're practicing for the sake of it. This is the greatest practice a Muslim can do in his life, without which his salah will never be accepted. Without which his Quran will never be accepted. Without which his Hajj will never be accepted. You cannot even pray 2 rakah salah nafal without your heart being pure, without doing dhikr of Allah. How will your rakahs of salah in Fajr, Asr, Zohar, Isha, Maghrib be accepted? How will your Hajj be accepted? How will your Umrah be accepted? Impossible. So the meaning is, you have to purify yourself. You have to concentrate on the heart. First step, tawbah, repentance of the sins, accepting the sins and saying you will never do the sins again. Number two is dhikr of Allah. Where will you get these two things? Where will you attain these two steps, tawbah and dhikr of Allah? Where will you get to these actions? Where will you learn how to do this? Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. Allah says in the Quran, at the footsteps of the wali of Allah, at the footsteps of the sheikh, in the company of the wali of Allah, you will get tawbah and you will learn how to do dhikr. At the shop of the wali of Allah, the contract is signed. The contract is executed. If you want tawbah and dhikr Allah, then go to the wali of Allah, to the sheikh, qualified sheikh, kamil sheikh. You will get both things, tawbah and you will get dhikr of Allah. You will get repentance and the remembrance of Allah. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, both of these things you will attain. And Allah says in the Quran, like I recited this verse in front of you, Allah Ta'ala said to the believing men and the believing women at the time of Rasulullah, go to his company, sit in his company and do tawbah. Do tawbah for your sins, accept your sins, promise never to do them again, and do dhikr of Allah and learn Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Go to the Prophet and learn these things, practice these things with him. And this is called ta'alluq billah, to make the connection with Allah via the Shaykh, via the wali wala. We make connections with people in the world, father-in-law, mother-in-law, uncle, auntie. We run to the relatives. And why do we run to them? Because we want them to help us for something in the dunya for the sake of the world. But sheikh and murid, this is such a connection. Is ta'alluq billah. No uncle, no auntie, no nephew, no nieces. These are connections and relatives of the world, relationships of the world. But to make the connection direct with Allah, you make the connection with the sheikh, you make a connection with the uncle, father-in-law due to the wife, mother-in-law is due to the wife, uncle is due to your father, auntie is due to your mother. There's always something in between due to the worldly relationship, but the relationship with the sheikh is pure 100% for the sake of Allah. Aha, I feel so good in saying this. Why? Because you go to the sheikh, to the wali of Allah, for one reason only, to attain the nearness to Allah. So the connection between the sheikh and the murid is for whose sake? Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. All the relationships in the world are for the sake of the success and the gaining of the materialism in this world. But the relationship with the sheikh, the teacher, is solely for the sake of Allah. What a great hadith is coming to my mind that I will present to you. As the Shaykh al-Adiz rahmatullahi presented this in his kitab, and you will have read this and recited this. The connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we make it? Through the connection with the sheikh. Yes, there are relationships in the world. You'll have uncle and auntie and nieces and nephews and sons and son-in-laws and daughters-in-laws. But Allah Ta'ala says the relationship with Allah, with me, is solely for my sake. You do tawbah, you do dhikr, you go to the sheikh, you say, sheikh, it's difficult for me to get close to Allah. Please prescribe to me, explain to me, guide me, teach me. What do I need to do? Physical practice to get close to Allah. This hadith in paradise, subhanAllah. There will be the material made out of Yaqut, the precious stones of Yaqut, and Zumurrat, the precious stone of Zumurrat. There will be rooms and walls made out of these precious stones. There will be beautiful maidens and hoors and wives. So beautiful will be the maidens and wives that their palaces that the wives will be in, they will be sparkling like the moon and the sun. Just a little bit of a sketch of Jannah. So much extreme beauty in Jannah, paradise. Imagine the beauty of your palace made out of the precious stones of Zamurrat and Yaqut, and thousands of rooms within your palace and your mansions. And there'll be decorations and luxuries and such beautiful furniture. And all of your homes and the homes within will be sparkling and glittering like the moon and the sun. And who will be staying in these homes, in these rooms? For those people who for the sake of Allah created a connection in the world with their teacher, with the sheikh, they created connections only for the sake of Allah. With sadaqat, with sincerity, a person comes, a student, he goes to the wali of Allah, he puts his hand in the hand of the wali of Allah, he says, sheikh, please accept my pledge of allegiance, my bay'ah, for the sake of Allah. He has regret for his sins. He does tawbah for his sins. He promises he won't go to the sins again. And he promises, sheikh, I will try my best in my life to leave the sins. And this is called the relationship of the sheikh and the student. And after that, he doesn't run away to the sins again. And he doesn't think about the sins again. Khalisun, this hadith is for those people who make the connection with the teacher in this world for the sake of Allah. And khalisun, sincerely, humbly, purely, he makes a connection with the teacher, he establishes that promise, he stays steadfast on that promise, he leaves the sins, no nifaq, no hypocrisy comes in his heart, and he sticks to that till his death, and Allah Ta'ala will make his life easy on the path of the deen of Islam, and that is how the relationship between the sheikh and the teacher is existent. Otherwise, bay'ah is not accepted. Allah says, bay'ah is cut, is finished. The Pledge of Allegiance is finished. The Tawbah is finished. If you keep coming and going like a ping pong game, like a tennis game, you're coming and you're going, one day you're coming, one day you're going, one day you're sinning, the next day you leave the sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Allah says, I am the witness in the relationship between the sheikh and the student. Allah says, I am the witness that you've come for my sake. Whether you have 100,000 students, the sheikh, but only that one student will be the true student who regretted his sins, who cried upon his sins, and then he left his sins for the rest of his life and he did dhikr of Allah regularly. The Allah says, glad tidings for you, O student. You are living in Jannah in the world, and in the hereafter you will get Jannah, paradise. You have to be steadfast. If you say, oh, I've got such a great sheikh, he's my teacher, I've got a connection in a great silsala, and my sheikh, he's the greatest scholar of this time. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given you that connection. connection. Allah has given you that connection with a great mufti and wali of Allah and a sheikh who's got a great name in the dunya. Allah has given you the tawfiq of tawbah and dhikr. But are you following the practice of that promise that you made? Have you taken advantage of that bayah that you did? Or is it just the name you ran after that I am a member of this chain of sheikhs and Allah Ta'ala will forgive me and I'll go into paradise? No way will this happen. Only and only can you go into paradise when you fulfill the pledge that you made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says that you are munafiq in the world. You had no sincerity. You wanted the connection with the teacher and you thought but that due to the name of your connection you'd be forgiven. No. If you say today, brother, why are you committing these sins? Why are you doing this haram? Oh, it's too difficult for me. Oh, it's so hard for me. Allah says, no, if it's haram, it's haram. Doesn't matter if all the dunya goes on one side, but haram will stay haram till the day of judgment. Not that the whole dunya is practicing haram, and you have done bayah, and you're a student in the silsila. And you say, it's too hard for me, you know, my relatives, they're doing this haram, my friends are doing this haram, my parents are doing this haram. Doesn't matter who's doing this haram. Rasulullah, Allah Ta'ala taught us, if you do bayah at the hands of Rasulullah or at the hands of a sheikh until the day of judgment, Allah says, only will you be the true student if you leave the haram deeds, if you leave the sins. The Sahaba Ikram and did pledge allegiance to Rasulullah at his time in his presence. And today we do bayah, pledge allegiance at the hands of the sheikh, and we continue to practice haram. This is ridiculing the bayah you did at the hands of the sheikh. This is ridiculing the connection you've got with the teacher, with the sheikh. Because Allah Ta'ala says, I've kept big, big rewards in the hereafter. On every salah, it's taking you to Allah. Palaces and mansions and rewards in Jannah, only if we are steadfast on the promise we make to Allah. Islam is not a game, my friends. Islam is not some jest that you promise to Allah and you do haram every day. No. If you are steadfast, if you strive and make effort, yes, sins will happen on the way. But if you continue to be steadfast, if you continue to follow that path, then inshallah success will come. You know, we say it's hard for us to follow Islam. It's hard for us to follow the deen. It's hard for us to follow the principle of Islam. And so easily we run to the sins. That will become difficult for you, I tell you. I promise you, to commit the sins will be difficult. When a Muslim does tawbah, he has regret for his sins and he starts doing dhikr of Allah, then it becomes so difficult for him to go towards the sins. I guarantee you, in his heart, he has such strength in his heart, wherever he is in the world, doesn't matter who's around him, he'll say, oh, I find it hard to do the sins, I have to leave this gathering. I have to leave this sinful gathering and company, because my heart is saying I cannot sit here. He's doing bayah in the hands of the sheikh, the student, the female student, the male student, when they do pledge of allegiance to the sheikh, to the teacher, then Allah Ta'ala says, after that, if you commit the haram deeds, then you're not deceiving the sheikh, you're not deceiving or putting the sheikh into the doubt, rather you are deceiving yourself, you are going and plunging yourself into the darkness of the sins, and you think you are playing games with the teacher. The hand is of yours that you've put into the hand. The male student, when he pledges allegiance to the sheikh, when he puts his hand into the hand of the sheikh, he's putting his hand not into the hand of the sheikh, he's pledging allegiance directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's making promises directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you do tawbah and pledge allegiance, my friends, don't make jokes afterwards. The whole of Ramadan Allah Ta'ala gave me this month. Not for praying salah, not for reading Quran, not for reciting Quran, not for going on Umrah in Ramadan, not for waking up the whole night of Ramadan. This is not the objective of Ramadan. This is the last Ashra. Ashra, the last Ashra, is the summary of Ramadan. You know, it is the summary of Ramadan where we wring the cloth and the last few drops come out of that moist cloth. This is that period. Allah gave us 3 Ashras, 3 periods of 10 days, and the success of Ramadan is sealed in the last 10 days of Ramadan. And those sealing of the success is in these 5 odd nights of Ramadan. The 21st night is gone, 23rd night is tonight, 25th, 27th, 29th will come. And these 5 odd nights, Allah Ta'ala says the whole of the success of Ramadan is sealed in these 5 odd nights. And these 5 odd nights, what is the practice you have to do? One practice. No ibadah, Allah says, I'm asking from you. No special ibadah worship, praying 100 rakah salah, 5 juz of Quran, 10 juz of Quran. Allah says, in these odd nights of Ramadan, if you practice this one deed I'm about to explain, then you've attained Ramadan. You pray salah, hajj, umrah, ibadah, reading Quran. Allah says, I'm not giving you a Ramadan, last ashra, and Laylatul Qadr, the last 5 odd nights, for you to do these ibadat, and if you do this, you'll be forgiven. No. We have made such cultures and innovations in our deen that we are lost on these 5 nights. Allah says, Laylatul Qadr is full, Mufajr, there's nobody here. What kind of deen of Islam is this? Ramadan, the whole masjid is full, and the first of Shawwal, no one's there for Fajr Salah. Allah says, is this Ramadan? Allah says, is this what I gave? Is this how you're going to read Quran for the rest of the 11 months of the year? There's no Muslim in the masjid. There's no sunnah. There's no practice. Allah says, where's the masjid then? Allah says, this is deception. I gave you Ramadan to practice, to revise, to remind you that for the rest of your life, you have to practice your life like this. That if these 30 days and nights of Ramadan, Allah, okay, that's it. Jazakallah khair. The rest of the year, I have no time for you. I have no methodology. I have no practice. Allah says, you are committing forward with me. You are committing forward with me. The 30 days you come to the masjid in Ramadan because you felt so good in Ramadan. And after that, for the rest of the year, you disappear. Allah said, is this Ramadan? You are throwing Ramadan back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in these nights, the odd nights, in the last 10 days of Ramadan, 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th, for 1 second if you practice this ibadah, you have looted all the treasures of Ramadan. But if you don't practice this one ibadah for 1 second, you are destroyed. And you have not taken the benefits and the mercies of Ramadan. And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam said Ameen to this dua of Rasulullah when he ascended the member. Every night in the odd nights of Ramadan, Allah calls out. Every night of Ramadan, Allah calls out. But in the nights of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala descends to the lowest heavens. Oh my servants, you are burning in the fire of hell, and hell is close to you. Do tawbah now. Only one ibadah you have to do. What is that one ibadah? Tawbah, repentance. Allah, I won't lie, I won't fraud, I won't take interest, I won't take haram, I won't look here, I won't use my evil eyes, I won't do all of these haram deeds. There's nothing difficult, my brothers. Just do this true tawbah. If you do tawbah on these nights, then you attain the totality of Ramadan. You get akhirah, your grave is full of noor. All the big punishments that are awaiting, we will be saved from them. They will be eliminated from us. Allah says, when you die, you will be made naked. Ghair mahrams will see your body. They will bathe you, do ghusl to you. They will straighten your arms on your side. They will open your mouth. They will wash your nostrils and your body. They will wrap you, shroud you with two pieces of cloth for a few hours. Oh, he's died. Oh, do janazah salam. You'll think that everyone's worried about you. They will seal you in a box. This will be my state, your state. You'll be made naked. Your clothes will come off. You know, you say, my clothes, this cloth, that cloth, this libas, this my item, this money, this treasure, this bank account. Everything will go. Allah says, that all your clothes will be taken off you. You'll be given ghusl, and you'll be thrown into that coffin and thrown into that. Allah says, seal him, throw the mud over him. We don't want to see him anymore after today. He used to have makeup and ithan on his body. He used to have the most expensive items of clothing in the world. He used to show off to people with all his luxuries and riches, and he never thought, what is Sharia telling me? What is Allah saying to me? What is Rasulullah saying to me? How do I have to live my life? How do I have to commemorate my subah, my morning, my evening, my afternoon, my mid-afternoon, my early evening? No, but I followed. I used to make my face the way I wanted. I used to make my labas the way I wanted. You used to follow my lifestyle the way I wanted. Allah says, the secrets will come out at the time of death. When you die, your clothes will come off. The ghair mahrams you never saw in your life will give you ghusl, and they will wash you. After that, they'll put you into a box that you never saw in the world, and that box will be lowered into the grave. And people still, for those few seconds and hours after that, they will have manners with you, and the women will, you'll have parda. Then they'll say, quickly, 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 do the janazah quickly. And they won't even call you by name. They won't say chachaji anymore. They won't say mamuji. They'll say, get the body. Get the body, they'll forget your name. They won't say, brother, this X, Y, Z. They'll say, where's the body? Where's the body? Put him in the car. Take him to the graveyard. No Hazrat Sahab, no Peer Sahab, no Sheikh Sahab. What do I become when I die? Body, Mr. Body. No one will say my name. I will be forgotten straight away. I will die, the whole world will forget me. So brothers, recognize in these nights, do tawbah straight away now. Now do tawbah. Then inshallah your eyes will open, your heart will open, your life will open. Otherwise you won't know what's going to happen. But when I die, I will be washed ghusl in the box, in the coffin. I'll be put to my right. They'll lower the grave, the body, the box into the grave. Then they'll say, throw the stones, the rocks. I want to throw. Everyone will say, I want to throw. And they will walk away from your grave just a few yards. And the reality of life will open. The reality of life will open up. Scorpions, spiders, serpents, pythons, animals, monsters, due to which we used to leave salah. Due to all the love of the world, we used to leave salah. No one will do dua for you at this time. No one will remember you. Your children will forget you. Your wife will forget you. Your parents will forget you. Your relatives will forget you. No one will remember you. And the azab will start. The punishment will start. The fire will come into the grave. Nobody will remember you. Nobody will listen to you. You will scream out, asking for help. You won't even be able to say Allah. You won't be able to say Subhanallah. You won't be able to say dhikr. The animals in the grave, in the soil, will remember you, but the human beings you used to love in the world will not listen to you. So don't fall into deception, brothers. Don't be munafiqs. Don't be hypocrisy. Don't be hypocrites. Live the true life, honest life. Make your life with salah, with sharia, with sunnah. Live your life according to sunnah. Purify your life. Make your life clean. Make your life clean. Make your heart clean. The methods to make your heart clean: tawbah, repentance, dhikr of Allah. Go meet a sheikh, meet a wali of Allah, pledge allegiance to him, make the connection to him, direct to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, fine, make and earn dunya, and whatever wealth comes to your name will be a ni'mah, extra bonus for this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but nobody will give you in the hereafter, my friends. So follow the life, live the life, and have business and earn money, but make the hudood within the boundaries of sharia, within the laws, the factors that Allah ta'ala has given to us. And if you live within the hudood of sharia, within the circle of Islam, you will get ease and money and wealth. Allah won't make you hungry. Allah won't make you die hungry. Are you going to do true tawbah today, brothers? For the sake of Allah, wash your hearts, admit your sins, annihilate the sins. Tonight, inshallah, is the 23rd night, Laylatul Qadr, and inshallah, we have every night now, morning and evening, dhikr of Allah gathering. Why do you sleep? One night you wasted yesterday night. Sit in the dhikr in the morning after fajr, and in the evening after taraweeh, in the evening, sit. Sacrifice a little bit of time. Allah Ta'ala's bakhshish, forgiveness comes. And do tawbah in those gatherings. Tonight, 23rd night, if you waste, don't waste it. Grab hold of the wali of Allah's hand. Say, oh Shaykh, teach me deen. Just like the believing women, Allah says in Surah Mumtahinna, He sent them to the presence of Rasulullah ﷺ to do tawbah. Do true tawbah today. Allah, I won't commit the sins again today, after today. Will you do true tawbah today, brothers? Say, inshallah. Come, let's recite the durood sharif and start the dhikr of Allah.
Karun bande apne rab se dar bande Allah karun bande apne rab se dar bande Allah खड़ी है सर पे तेरे कब्र की रात से डर बंदे अल्लाह अल्लाह कर बंदे मौत खड़ी है सर पे तेरे कब्र की रात से डर बंदे अल्लाह Allah karunde Allah Allah karunde Allah, Allah.